Hi there and good evening and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO. In this portion of the program, we're going to be talking with Greg Cozera, the president of Learned Leadership, LLC, director of marketing for Shale Crescent, USA. And we're going to be taking a look at jobs after the pandemic. And Greg, thanks for being with us tonight.
Jim, an honor to be with you again. It really is.
Thank you. I gather that anybody who is expecting the labor market to bounce back immediately may be disappointed.
Boy, it is. And I don't know that anybody has a crystal ball as when all this is going to bounce back. But I don't think it's going to be, certainly not in the next 30 days, for sure.
Yeah, it would so seem. And again, that raises, of course, another question. This $2.3 trillion stimulus plan, the Phase 3, it's called. It is hard for me to imagine that unless things do, in fact, bounce back by the Ides of May, in other words, another 30 days, they're going to have to do another one, aren't they?
Well, you know, unfortunately, that's a real possibility. I think what really needs to happen is as fast as we can, you know, we got to get over the hump, but as fast as we can begin to open up the economy, the better it's going to be for everybody, and particularly for, you know, small business owners. My goodness, it's I know my friends that are small business owners are, it's tough times, but if we can at least have some, and I think there's some real hope out there, Jim, and I think maybe if I can't do anything tonight, if I can at least leave some hope with your listeners, it'd be I'll feel like I've done what I can do, because what we've seen, and you know, we kind of had a sense that we got a lot of stuff from China. I don't think any of us realized, and I didn't. I'm an economic development consultant. I had no idea how much. I didn't know 80% of our medications come from over there, and likely my wife and I are taking pills that were manufactured in China. So, but we have this incredible opportunity now to bring, you know, all these, whether it's gloves or gowns or masks or ventilators. It's amazing how much of that stuff is made over there and how little is made here. And isn't it time we started protecting our own folks by having those critical items manufactured right here in our own country?
I think that is precisely the point of it all. I'm not under the illusion that every single thing that has been outsourced to China can be brought back, nor do I care to do that. But my personal standard is that if there is an item that is so critical that we could be blackmailed by another country, then that other country shouldn't be the only place we can get this stuff. If there are things we need that are critical, then we should absolutely, by whatever means, maintain the capacity to make it in sufficient quantities here. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. And, you know, what's really neat now, the world has changed again. And I think a lot of for the last, 30 years, since the Arab oil embargo, China and some of the other, particularly China in particular, has had a real edge because we were both getting our energy from the same source, OPEC. So no advantage there. And then they had cheap labor. So when you put those two together for the last 30-plus years, if you wanted to make stuff, and if it was something that they could make, China was probably a pretty good answer. And we've actually benefited. I mean, can you imagine how much stuff we got from China that was a whole lot cheaper than we got it here? Now, I think it's, as they say, maybe we're paying the piper now for that stuff because we let so much of that stuff go over there. But here's the real message that I think all Americans need to know right now is that game is over. And the reason it's over is, and it's really flipped just in the last 3-4 years, because of our cheap energy. We've got the energy advantage. China still has to depend on OPEC or Russia or us. We've got our own energy. Literally, we can build the plants right on top of it if we want to. And when you take our own energy, and then now we can use advanced manufacturing, robotics, artificial intelligence, remote control, all those things that we can do now, and we can really match up very well with them on cost. As a matter of fact, we can beat them at their own game right now.
1-866-50-JIMBO, our number, with Greg Cozera from ShaleCrescentUSA.com. And this is a call from Jerry in Dothan, Alabama. Good evening, Jerry.
Good evening, sirs. How are y'all doing?
We're well, thank you.
Mr. Bohannon?
Yes, sir.
I'm 69 years old here, come August. I've got two open heart surgeries, part of my heart cut away, and I got a mechanical valve, and I'm working 12-hour nights, 5 days a week.
Bless your heart.
Well, we certainly congratulate you on your impending birthday and your stalwart constitution. Go ahead, please.
Now,
and tell us
yes,
more,
sir.
Jerry.
Thank you all very much. But what I'd like to say is this. This country has withstand attacks from foreign countries, politicians trying to destroy our Constitution. And now we have one man and one woman who has spread the word to them. And it's a disease called fear. Every child is born. Every plant is born. It beats off weeds. It beats off storms. It beats off pedophiles. It beats off this or colds or flus. And we all are born, and we're all born to die. It's a cold, hard fact.
We are, although obviously we would all just as soon postpone the dying part.
Yes, but here's the thing about it. When you give in to fear, you have given up the most, that is the most dreaded disease that a person can have. And
if, in
most,
fact, we do have fear, I would concede the point. I will turn to Greg Kosira here. Are we, in fact, gripped by fear, or are we gripped by the appropriate actions needed to keep us going, such as undergoing, say, heart procedures, for example? I mean, sometimes we do things that we need to do, not just out of fear, but out of prudence.
You know, I think it's a combination of both, because I've seen through this whole pandemic, people that are absolutely fearful, that are locked in. Then we have the other side of the coin where people are throwing these, COVID-19 parties and getting all their buddies together, and someone brings the virus in, you have a bunch of people, get the bug and maybe pass it on to some folks, and people die. So I think we're a little bit of both, but I think the guest caller raises a good point, because I'm a high school soccer coach, and one of the things that I teach my players is you should never, ever fear an opponent. Even if they're a strong opponent, you never fear them. You always have to respect them. And even a weak opponent, you have to respect, because otherwise you do stupid things and get beat. So I think the challenge for us is, through this whole period of time that I've been, we've been locked away for a month now, Fear does get in there. I mean, I felt it, and you have to overcome that. And our challenge, I think, as Americans, is we do have to when we do feel that fear, we have to be prudent, we have to be thoughtful, we have to be smart, but we have to also treat this like the enemy it is and respect it. But we don't need to fear it. We need to figure out how to overcome it.
1-866-50-JIMBO, our number, 1-866-505-4626. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Welcome back to the Jimbo Haddon Show at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Let me ask you, as we go back to some more calls, Greg Kosira, that $2.3 trillion stimulus plan was supposedly aimed at helping the labor market to see to it that small businesses have enough money to write paychecks and so on. But, of course, it was done in haste. And even at its best, government is not exactly super efficient at pinpoint targeting. With the benefit of 2020 hindsight, if you could change that stimulus bill, which, again, Congress may have a chance to do in Phase 4, which I assume is coming up, what changes would you make?
Boy, I think, I'm not sure I'd know. I know right now, because, our business is impacted. And, I don't know how long. I think it's really too early to tell, because it makes sense that they had enough common sense to use the banks that are already set up, and they're probably as efficient as distributing money and approving loans as anybody out there. But I think it's going to be interesting to see how fast that money actually gets distributed, and if it gets distributed into the right hand. So I'd be remiss to make to see now and see how this thing plays out and see if it actually does help before we, maybe even throw another $2.25 trillion at this thing again, because I think we want to make sure the right people are getting it, and it is doing what it's supposed to do, is keep people employed. And if it works that way, then maybe we're on the right track. If it's not working that way, yeah, time to go to plan B.
Fair enough. Let's go to Pat in Northern Michigan. Good evening, Pat.
Yeah, I was just calling about the encirclement of the Capitol today, where they drove in and had 5 hours. These guys are waiting in line with their fishing boats and such, just to encircle the thing. It's like
this was the protest against the Governor Gretchen and Whitmer's various executive orders.
Oh, she's put some serious, unsubstantial lockdowns on this state. I mean, we can't buy tomato seeds. We can't go into the garden center and get a rake. You can't go out in your fishing boat if you live, and this is Michigan. We got like 100,000 lakes. You got a little putt-putt motorboat. You can't go out with your putt-putt motorboat. You got to paddle. Come on.
I must say I fail to see the distinction between paddling and using your motor. But certainly that's been a very hot topic, Greg Kozera. To me, I think Governor Whitmer's only succeeded in doing two things. One, removing herself from Joe Biden's list of potential running mates, and two, nudging the state further in the direction of once again voting for Donald Trump. But your thoughts, Greg?
Well, it could well happen. And, you know, I guess that was one of the things that kind of gnaws at me through this whole thing, is when government has to tell us what to do, because what's the key? You know, it's still in the back of my mind. We're doing what makes sense now. And I guess I like to see things done by leadership as opposed to rule of law. I mean, in a lot of cases like this, because what we are talking about doing is, in some cases, locking people up in their homes and restricting their freedoms. And what if that power was applied in a situation that maybe isn't as life-threatening as this? Could a future leader of ours, whether they're at a presidential level, do the same thing? And you know, I could see where some really bad things can happen. So I think what you need to have is leadership at that, whether it's a state level or federal level, that puts it out there. Here's what we have to do, folks, and here's why we have to do it. You may not like it, but here's what I see. Here's why we need to do it. And I think
so. Use more of the bully pulpit, in other words.
Yeah,
because more persuasion.
In West Virginia, our governor didn't come out, and he didn't have to even come close to doing what they're doing in Michigan, because everybody got it. I mean, you know, I'm kind of rural, but I can go out and run. I can do a lot of things. Right. And I'm not going to impact anybody, and they're not going to impact me. I can talk to my neighbors across the street, and we're not going to catch the virus from each other because we're 30 feet away. So I think, you know, when government oversteps, when they've lost their common sense and try to dictate our everyday moves, I think you have exactly what you have in Michigan. Because I used to live in Michigan. That's where I met my wife. And the caller's right. My gosh, you could get out on those lakes and go fishing, and you're not going to impact anybody, and they're not going to impact you. Why not take advantage of that great outdoors they have? And you can. The key is social separation, not iron-handed government telling us what we can do and what we can't do.
Yeah, I could not agree more. Let's go to David in Creston, Iowa, on the Bohannon Show with Greg Kozera. Good evening, David.
Yes, good evening, Jim. Thank you, and also your guest here. You had a call in earlier who said that we all have to have a positive attitude. Yeah, I think the government and Trump, he's worried about chaos. I mean, these people, when they get worried, you get hungry, you're liable to do anything, okay? And I think this money that they're passing out is going to go so fast to make your head swim, because I've talked to a lot of people who say, boy, I can't wait till I get my check, because, man, I'm going to go buy this and buy that. Well, you know, they would think about tomorrow or next month, and something like that. And also, America is strapped out on credit. You know, I know very few people that are just totally debt-free, all right? They've got savings in the bank. They've got all their bills are paid. They haven't gone into deep debt, you know, with everybody. that there's so many people that are that way right now. I think Trump's afraid of a riot or a total discord, you know, as people get angry because, you know, they'll spend their money, then they're going to want more, okay?
And, well, it's possible that they'll want more, or maybe they'll recognize that there's only so much to go out there. Although I would note, Greg Kucera, that, of course, the whole point of the stimulus is for people to spend it. I mean, honestly, I'm not strapped for cash, paycheck to paycheck, and if I qualified for this, I wouldn't spend it. I would save it, which, of course, is exactly the opposite of what they want people to do. So, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, and I think what most people, my guess is what a lot of folks will do, is they're going to use that to pay their bills. And even that's not a bad thing. As a matter of fact, they pay their bills, then the people that they owe are going to take that money and pay someone else.
If whatever you pay it for, you're paying your bills, you're paying your rent, you're paying your medication, you're paying your groceries, you're spending it.
Right. And I think that's now the key to that is that'll move the economy, but we've got to have some common sense out there too. And you know, I get it. New York's got serious problems in places like maybe Los Angeles and some of the big cities. But we got a big country, and there's a lot of opportunity in the heartland to be able to common sense, social separate, physical separate, and still get a job done. And I think the key to this is going to be when people start spending that money, we got to start to open this thing up as soon as it makes sense to get some additional people back to work to start making the stuff that we're going to be wanting to buy.
Fair enough. Stay on the line, and we will speak off air. Pardon me. Stay on the line, and we'll have more calls is what I meant. Greg Kucera, president of the Learned Leadership LLC, director of marketing for ShaleCrescentUSA.com. We'll learn more about what it is that they do and talk about the job market and the virus back on the Bohannon Show in a moment.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Greg Kucera, our guest, he is director of marketing for ShaleCrescentUSA.com, and we're talking a bit about jobs recovery after this whole thing ends, or at least this wave of it ends. Let's go to Jason in Wilmar, Minnesota. Hi, Jason.
Hi, how are you doing today?
We're well, thank you.
First of all, I'd like to say thank you for taking my call, and basically for doing the show for everybody. You help out so many people. Thank you for that as well.
Thank you.
I had a couple questions for you. The first one I have is to deal more with like the real estate market. Because of a car accident and disability, I'm on disability now. My plan was to sell the house this spring. But now that this is going on, I'm just kind of curious. I'd like to pick the brains of some of your listeners and kind of get various different opinions on what to expect with the market. Obviously going down, I don't know, but people still got to live somewhere, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Thoughts about that, Greg Kucera? I mean, is this, this might be a good time, I suppose, to buy. Is this a good time to sell?
I was just thinking the same thing, Jim, that this would be a great time to buy. Selling, no, not so much. And I'm not a real estate expert, but I've bought and sold enough to know that, you know, I've been on both ends of that. You know, I think one thing that probably needs to be talked about more, though, and I've seen it over the years, and I'm sure you have, is some of our biggest successes as individuals, as organizations, or even as a country, come after some of our biggest failures or challenges. And you know, you can go back to World War II. Clearly, Pearl Harbor was a 2x4 across the back of the head for the United States. We had no idea. We didn't see that coming at all. And the way we came out of that brought Americans together And we did phenomenal things during to build the stuff, tanks, weapons. I mean, my dad was in the Pacific. My mother was making stuff here at home. She was in one of the factories. And what in this, I think there's opportunity here, and I think one of those opportunities for us is going to be these jobs, because this is the time when American manufacturers that are here now have this energy advantage. They have the automation advantage over China, and there's companies now that could easily expand. We're already seeing people like General Motors suddenly start to make respirators. I got a friend that I called him just to see how he was doing. He makes basically products, plastic products, and I said, "How's it going?" And I was expecting to hear a sob story. He says, "Greg," he says, "the last 3 weeks have been the absolute busiest in my entire life." He's making parts for ventilators. And that changes as, you know, he's looking for help. So I think what we need to do, and maybe from a stimulus standpoint, what we maybe ought to be doing is looking at those industries and those things that we need to bring back here and maybe encourage, maybe some loans to businesses to help them expand. The companies that are here now that can do that, maybe just give some encouragement so they'll expand, which creates jobs in the expansion for machinery and construction, and hire permanent people. I mean, this is that time to look ahead and seize the moment. We don't want to be talking about this 3 years from now and wonder why we didn't. It's time to do.
Yeah, that's a wonderful, positive outlook. Let's go to Bill in the Pittsburgh. Hello, Bill.
Yeah, Jim, I'd like to say to you and your guests, this is one of something, and I'm a nurse in the community hospital outside of Pittsburgh, and we've kind of had this curious divergence, and I think it's hit a lot of places that are not in the worst hit areas, where a lot of places were emptying out, canceling elective procedures in anticipation of a surge, and even though we've had maybe about 900 cases in this county, our census and a lot of the hospitals in the region have dropped precipitously. And now it's like, you know, hopefully once, you know, the worst of this passes and we start getting more regular patient populations, that will improve. But again, this is something where some of my own personal practices, like I've had between checking and savings, I have a year's worth of gross income as ready cash. I have a bank of sick hours, and our employer said, you know, because of low census, even if you're not sick, you can tap into your sick hours. And that's where if you have certain of these personal practices and habits in place, when you have the downtime, it gives you a big buffer to be prepared. And one question I'd like to ask your guest, now, does he see certain things coming back more for stateside protection versus, and you know, China, like pharmaceuticals, over the next several years?
Okay, go ahead,
point,
Greg. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when I'm hearing people from both parties across the country are kind of horrified at the pharmaceutical thing. And, you know, China hasn't been exactly noted for their quality control over the years. And I got jillions of stories I can tell you about that. But I wouldn't buy dog food from, if it was made in China, I was not buying it for my dog. Because they had some issues with, you know, glass and you name it. So I'm thinking, if I wouldn't buy dog food, if I knew the blood pressure pill I was taking in the morning was made in China, would I question that? You're darn right I would. So I think we can see those things happening. I think things like, you know, the protective gowns, masks, those gloves. It's shocking how much of that stuff. We're waiting for masks, plain load of masks from China. We ought to be making those things here, and I think we're learning how to do that. I can see that happening. And, you know, it's interesting to your point. I'm going through some physical therapy after a soccer injury last fall, and they've stopped. We've actually had nurses furloughed because the same, exactly what you're talking about. Our hospital census here in West Virginia is extremely low because of no elective surgery. The bone and joint surgeons where I'm at, they can't do knee surgeries now. They got to wait till this is all over. And right now, there's people in their hospitals they've had to lay off. So I think it's time to get some of those things rolling again. That's an easy thing to do, and we can get those healthcare workers back online. And hey, if something happens and you need the equipment or the, you know, something, you have a spike, it's not hard to stop that and change it around, but I think we need to make some moves very quickly and get some of these people back to work, because there's no reason not to.
1-866-50-JIMBO, our number, 1-866-505-4626. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to the Jimbo Haddon Show at 1-866-50-JIMBO. Greg Kozira, our guest, president of Learned Leadership LLC, director of marketing for ShaleCrescentUSA.com. As we go back to the calls here, briefly, what do you do, or rather, what are those groups, Learned Leadership LLC and ShaleCrescentUSA.com?
Jim, Learned Leadership is my company. My wife and I run it. We're small business people. And I do professional speaking, like motivational speaking and those kind of things. But we also do a lot of training, leadership training, employee development training. My wife's, her expertise is diabetes. So we do a lot of work in that area. But for Shell Crescent, I also have an expertise in sales and marketing. So I'm actually handling their marketing. And my role is to carry that message of, that the Shell Crescent USA region, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, is the only place in the world where a company can build on top of the feedstock and in the middle of their customers. So we're carrying that message to the world in order to bring companies from the United States and other parts of the world back to this region. And what we're seeing right now is the Rust Belt is soon to be no more. It's being replaced with advanced manufacturing and companies coming here to make stuff. And that's what our goal is to create jobs. We're nonprofit, non-government. Right. Our goal is jobs.
Mm-hmm. Outstanding. Brad in Sioux City, Iowa. Hello, Brad.
Well, good evening. I first of all would like to say that I'm probably not the best at expressing my opinions, but I'm very grateful for the show and the program. It gives me hope and a good feeling that I can't get on regular television or whatever. Because of the optimism that I hear throughout most of the callers. And I'd just like to say that it really bothers me that we're all being contained in a certain way from the government's point of view. You know, stay at home, and I understand their logic for that. And on the other hand, it's kind of like putting a wild animal in a cage. No matter how long they keep us in our homes, that doesn't kill the virus. And when we all
keeping us in our homes doesn't kill the virus, no, but it does give us time to kill the virus. So, thoughts, Greg Kozira?
You know, I think this is a time where we can't. The virus is here, right or wrong, good or bad, how it got here doesn't really matter. It's here. We got to deal with it. And how I look at the world is, we have to each control what we can control, and that's us. We have 100% control over our actions. And so one of the things that I can do is I can certainly social distance myself. I don't need to get it from someone, and I don't need to give it to anybody if by some chance I do catch it. But I think we can control that. And, you know, something that most Americans don't realize, I was in Japan with my wife a couple years ago, and a third of the people over there were wearing masks. There was no coronavirus, but they do it out of respect for their fellow countrymen, because if they have a cold or whatever, if they're not feeling well, they wear a mask. Those surgical masks, we saw about a third of the people wore them, and they did it so that they didn't pass whatever they had, whatever bug they had, onto someone else. And I think that's what we need to be thinking about, is if we think about our fellow countrymen, our family members, and act accordingly, I think some of these things become common sense, and I think it makes it a whole lot easier to open the country back up too.
1-866-50-JIMBO, our number, 1-866-505-4626. And next up would be Warren in Lincoln, Illinois. Hello, Warren.
Good evening, Jim and Greg. And I'd like to make a comment on the stimulus program.
Sure.
And my comment is, I am on Social Security, and I have a pension, and I'm unemployed by choice, and I don't understand why I'm getting a stimulus check since I'm not missing any money. The same would apply to people who are still employed during the crisis, and the same would apply to people who are collecting their full salary on unemployment due to other government programs. Why are we wasting all that money?
Well, you're getting the money in the hopes that you will spend it and that therefore that will help other people keep their jobs, because money in circulation will help other people get their jobs, or retain their jobs, I should say, if money is in circulation. That's an interesting thought. Greg Kozera, the notion that just artificially giving money to people, and of course the way the thing is structured, it's people, I think it's $75,000 a year, you get the full $1,200 up to $99,000. It's gradually phased out. After $99,000 a year, you get nothing. The idea is to give it to people who will spend it. Is that, in fact, a targeted response to the problem, or is it a waste of money, as Warren thinks?
Well, I think that's going to remain to be seen. I think if the idea of getting money out fast and hopefully people will start to spend it. And I think in a lot of cases it's, you know, my gut tells me maybe a more targeted response would have made more sense. And instead of just, like you said, send it to everybody. I mean, whether you're retired or not. But, you know, if someone's retired and their neighbor gets it, and you know, it's like, why not me? So, you know, it's one of those catch 22 things, but I was surprised that they took that approach, that, you know, maybe a more targeted response would have been more effective, but, you know, we shall see.
1-866-50-JIMBO. Let's go to Maggie in Alexandria, Virginia. Good evening.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Getting back to the outsourcing again, you heard the latest Lulu of an outsourcing case involving that Fink, Elon Musk. On December 23rd, 2019, it was reported that Elon Musk and Tesla Motors had finagled a $1.4 billion, billion with a B, dollar loan from a consortium of Chinese banks in order to set up and start opening a $10 billion car plant in Shanghai in China. On December 26, 2019, it was reported that this amount was revised a little bit downward to $1.29 billion. The loan from the consortium of Chinese banks to set up this $10 billion car plant in Shanghai. A little while later, about the turn of the new year, it was reported that Elon Musk was dancing across the stage and up to a podium, announcing that this $10 billion car plant for Tesla Motors in Shanghai was now coming into operation. I wonder where that's gone since, you know, since that now this virus thing has hit here. See, car plants are vitally needed here to build tanks and trucks for the military. If anything happened, you know, of course. We need for the car plants and truck plants to be over here, not over there, you know, you see. And the big question, of course, is where are the customers for this $10 billion Tesla Motors car plant, you know?
Well, of course, a lot of them are in China, I'm sure. And that, of course, is, I guess, what these people are after, Greg. Although Maggie's point is certainly hard to miss, that, in fact, we have a need for at least a minimal level of automotive construction capability here.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting to that point. I have a good friend of mine. He's a VP for a manufacturing company, and they make trucks. And their company's Japanese-based, but about 2 years ago, he realized he was getting 60% of his parts from Japan. And he said, Greg, I got to change that, because I have no control over the dollar and, you know, dollar versus the yen type stuff. And before this virus even hit, he was gradually moving stuff over here, trying to find ways to outsource his parts instead of getting it from Tokyo, getting it from the United States. And he was so thrilled that you know, they're going to be making their cabs. They are making their cabs here now instead of buying them from Tokyo. So to the listener's point, what's really fascinating is when you do that, the trucks are going to be sold here in the United States, but now he's shortened his supply chain. His supply chain now, for the most part, is U.S.-based. So he's getting, you know, so many of his parts, and they're providing manufacturing jobs in other parts of our economy. So that's something to think about, that, you know, if they're going to sell into the United States market, this is the place to be. Now, if you're going to sell in the Chinese market, maybe China's not a bad spot. But if he's going to sell those Teslas in the United States, they need to be built here. And he'll find out if he did build them here, he's going to make a whole lot more money, too.
More to come. Back in a moment. Welcome back to Jim Bohannon Show. Our guest, Greg Kozera of Learned Leadership, LLC, and ShaleCrescentUSA.com. This is Paul in Zanesville, Ohio. Hi, Paul.
Oh, hello, Jimbo, and to your guest. Hey, you know, I'm sure there'll be lights at the end of the tunnel here, and I hope one of them is that our elected officials, you know, our politicians, get the word that it's America first. You know, I am sick of the way China has screwed us for years and these other countries and so many other things. And to your guest, sir, you said you had a nonprofit organization. Could I hear about that one more time, what you're doing with the business and so forth? And that would be all I had to say, Jimbo.
All right. Very good. Go ahead, Greg, and repeat
sure.
that.
Matter of fact, interesting. He's in Zanesville. Our organization is Shale Crescent USA. We're a nonprofit, non-government. We're based in Marietta, Ohio, not far from where he is in Zanesville. And our mission is to bring jobs. It started just to bring jobs in the Ohio Valley, and it's expanded to the whole tri-state region, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania. But we can do things that states can't do because we're business-oriented. We can move very quickly. And what we're able to do is reach out to the world and tell them about the economic advantages for being first in the United States and secondly in our region. Because this is where, matter of fact, a point that really needs to be brought out, I think, Jim, that isn't talked about at the government level. Most people don't even understand it. But where that last caller is, right under his, where he lives, is the Utica Shale. The Utica, the Marcellus, those are together, they're the biggest natural gas field in the world. It creates natural gas and natural gas liquids. And for us to bring manufacturing back to this country, the reason we lost it was because we lost our energy edge. We need oil and gas because that's the feedstock. And the next thing we need is the petrochemical industry to take those oil and gas feedstocks and turn them into polyethylene and polypropylene pellets that are used to make all the household products and things like electric cars that we see out there. You got to have those pellets to make that. And then Ohio has got, matter of fact, most of the polyethylene production, they've got a huge plastics industry there. So that's the stuff that you got to have oil. If we go through this, we've got places like New York. Our buddy Cuomo has banned fracking in New York. Well, he's also banned the oil and gas industry up there. And isn't it amazing that a guy like that is now he needs ventilators, he needs masks, and we're
exactly. We got to wrap on that note. Stay on the line. We'll speak off air. Greg Kozera, ShaleCrescentUSA.com. This is Westwood One.